come. And he goes out every day and retreads that ground. And suddenly one day he sees the first little springing green shoot as the harvest begins to show in its first blade, its first leaf, as it comes up above the ground. He is a participant in an absolute miracle of God. He's taken those little dead seeds that look like nothing, so innocent. He has flung them everywhere. And then he comes out one day and the entire field is covered with plants that stand perhaps up to his waist in height and even higher, and there's a harvest in the making. But he is the one who is the earliest partaker of, participant in, witness and observer to this great miracle of God. He is the sower. That sower represents Jesus Christ. That sower represents you and me. Now the second factor in this parable is the seed. When he sowed, he sent out seeds, he flung out seeds in all directions on various kinds of soil. Now, what does that seed stand for? That seed stands for two things. Number one, it stands for God's message. In verse 19, Jesus interprets it, and he says, anyone who hears the word of the kingdom. Now, that's what the seed stands for. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11, the same parable is told again, and here's what it says. The seed is the word of God, the most precious, exploding commodity the world has ever known. Is the truth that is resident in that book right there. Now what a picture that is of the truth of this book, a seed. Consider the frailty of the Word of God under the symbol of that seed. I was just yesterday afternoon, after about a little over a third of a day of visiting, we went into a store. The man, the brother right here in this congregation today, and I went into a store. It interrupted our visiting, and he bought two little packages of seeds. Now you could have held those seeds like this in your hands away from your observer and he would not even have known they were there. I would estimate that each package probably had 500 seeds in it, and yet you could have squeezed your hand around it and hidden it away from anybody's sight just by turning your hand around backwards. And I looked at those packages of seeds. Some were a little larger in this package and these were very, very small. And I realized I could have taken one of those seeds in that left-hand package. I could have held it between the skin of my thumb and my index finger in one hand and pressed together that finger and that thumb and enclosed that seed to a total burial so nothing could get to it. It's enfolded there between the layers of the skin and my finger and my thumb. And I realized again that I was witnessing a beautiful picture of the frailty of the Word of God when it is subjected to human understanding. It seems to have no power whatsoever. It is absolutely frail. And indeed, Paul said it like this. He said, it pleases God by the absolute foolishness of preaching the word to save those who believe. Sometimes I feel so absolutely helpless, armed with nothing but strung together words, forming ideas, transmitted out of the better idea in my mind through the poor presentation to hopefully the better understanding in your mind and heart. And it's so frail that you could just encircle it between the skin of your thumb and finger, as it were, and hide it and almost destroy it. And yet what force there is. Think of the forcefulness of the Word of God under the emblem of a seed. Did you know that back in 1922 when that English explorer uncovered the first of those tombs down in the Valley of the Kings in central Egypt. And since that day, some 58 at least have been discovered, and they know that there are at least 62 there. And King Tut's tomb was one of the earliest to be opened. There was a frontal room there, and it just had a few little things in it. And for years and years, stretching through centuries, they just dismissed that one. And then this English explorer went there with an idea. He said, there's got to be something more. And he knocked the back wall. He went to work on the back limestone wall of that apparent tomb, a small tomb. And sure enough, it was a false wall and led to a large compartment. And down the stairway you went. And right way down there in the heart you found the sarcophagus, the coffin, the gold coffin and wooden coffin and stone coffin of a man who was a pharaoh of Egypt who died at 22 years of age, King Tut. It was encased in gold. There were gold emblems all around. And in those gold emblems, they found a golden urn, a vase made of gold. When they opened it up, it was full of seeds. It had been there for thousands of years. They dared to try the experiment, all wanted to try. They took some of them and buried them in fresh earth. and fertilized them. And of course, you know what happened. Immediately, in the appropriate time of the culture of those seeds in that earth, they sprang up into life. What forcefulness there is in a resonant seed. What power there is in the explosive ideas of the Word of God. You see, Christian history is replete, I mean just jam full, of one illustration after another of how God took the insignificant, innocent sound of one little text of Scripture, planted it in somebody's fertile heart, and exploded it into forcefully dynamic and vital divine life. Let me give you one example. The man's name was Aurelius Augustine. He was a native of North Africa. His mother prayed for him because he became wild and reprobate early in life. He just ran the gamut of all kinds of sinning. And she prayed daily that God would touch his life and save him. And then he made plans to sail across the Mediterranean to Italy. And she begged God to not let him go because he was in the wrong companions. And one day she stood at dockside with tears freely flowing down her face as he gathered arm in arm with those profligate companions and set sail on that ship for Italy. But you see, God answered her prayer in a different way than she anticipated. Here's what happened. He got up into Italy. He became so sick of himself, as we so often do in our sins, that he simply could not stand himself. He was sick of heart, sick of mind, sick of spirit, sick of soul. He was just enshrouded in a burial shroud of sin, and he knew it. And he was sick on the inside unto death. And one day, in the desperate searching of his heart, he was out in the garden walking, just pushing bushes aside, moving through. He said he was desperate. And suddenly, across the hedge, he heard a little child's voice shout out, "Take up and read, take up and read, take up and read." And Augustine had no idea what the child meant. But it was a virtual word from God to his hungry, desperate, wicked, sinful heart. He rushed out of the garden and into the nearby house. He didn't even know what he was looking for. The first book he found in the providence of God was a Bible. He just picked it open and through tears, he just let it fall open. And in the providence of God, it fell open at Romans chapter 13, verses 13 and 14, where it says, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." And all of a sudden his heart, wicked in sin, was just shattered all to pieces. And that word of God's truth was planted like a bomb inside his heart. That little seed of one innocent sounding text, the moment it was planted in him, germinated and exploded into divine life. And those of you who know history know that history has never recovered from that little seed of God's truth planted in that man's heart to this day. The greatest Roman Catholic theologian who has ever lived was Aurelius Augustine. He's the one who plowed the furrow through which even Protestant theology has come for centuries and centuries and centuries, because he was a Bible-believing New Testament Christian in his reception of Christ. And he had to break many a mold to be able to perform where he was, all because of one little seed God planted in his life and in his mind and in his heart. Think of the fruitfulness of that seed. You know, I could stand here before you today, and I could hold a seed in my hand so small that you could not even see it. And I could take that seed out into fertile ground, dig that ground up, turn over a furrow, plant that seed in the ground, turn it back over, and wait on God. And in 25 years, I could feed the population of the entire world through what is produced out of that one seed. If what I did basically were this: I took that seed, let it grow into a plant, took the seeds of that plant, replanted them next year, took the seeds of those plants and replanted them next year, and in 25 years, a wheat crop produced from that one wheat seed could feed 8 billion people all over the world. Sociology tells us that will be the number of people at the turn of the century in this world, should Jesus not come, should the world stand. That's the fruitfulness of the Word of God. But there's another seed we need to talk about. You see, not only is the Word of God the seed, but these parables here indicate that the Christian is a seed, that the believer himself is a seed, and that's where much of the breakdown has come. You see, we all acknowledge that this book is the seed, that the truth of this Bible is the seed, but here's what we do not usually acknowledge, that all believers, all